Blog Talk Radio.
Gathered here to join each other hand in hand. No more playing house, no, 'cause I wanna make it real. Do you understand? To have and to hold, until death do us part. No one, no one up the beat of our heart. This is gonna last. And interrupt this ceremony. Oh, baby, yeah. All you gotta do is say
you love me.
Say that you love me. And we will walk.
Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger, and I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is the Messiah in our midst, and it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed that song by my dear friend Robert Kelly, known as R. Kelly. And the next man who asks me to marry him, he better learn that song. That's all I got to say. And so, am so honored tonight. This is a special program that I kind of threw together because my little sister Queen had me in tears when I got the news over Facebook. I didn't get a clue. I didn't get an inbox. I didn't get a hint or anything that her and my little brother Frank X, hip-hop artist, were even in courtship or anything, and next thing I know, they're engaged. So I wanted to tell you all and share with everybody, congratulations to you too. And I want to do the big sister, play the big sister role and kind of give you some jewels and some pearls of wisdom so that this will be the first and only time that you two get married, unless you want to renew your vows or something like that. And I couldn't think of anyone better than to join us and help me in sharing those pearls of wisdom with you than one of the most beautiful couples that our nation has ever seen, Student Minister Stanley Muhammad and his wife, Sister Ruth Muhammad. So we're going to start off first with the Queen. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ruth.
Walaykum salam, ma'am. How you doing?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission. Wonderful to hear your voice, dear sister. And thank
and you as well
for joining us. Thank you. Sister Ruth has been married to our dear brother Stanley for almost 24 years. They have 9 beautiful children, and if anybody knows how to make it stick, it's these two. So he needs no introduction because he's no stranger to the show at all. Student Minister Stanley, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Queen Aziza. How are you, my dear sister?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and thankful and blessed that you are with us tonight, sir. Thank you for coming once again. Yes, sir. Okay. So we're going to get started. And Brother Frank. Brother Frank.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Don't get cold feet now. Come on, talk to us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. By the grace of Allah.
Okay, you want to introduce yourself? It's been a long time since you've been on here, so kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little about you and your music and all that good stuff.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Brother Frank X. I've been in the nation for about, October, maybe 3-4 years. My vision is music, but also production, because I want to produce positive entertainment. I want to give the young generation a new image of themselves in movies and TV shows and through music, because the minister spoke on this before about how all the stereotypes are very prevalent and dominant in today's entertainment culture. And so my vision is to basically bring a new Hollywood to the black community. I was a member of Muhammad Mosque number 48, but as of right now, I'm transitioning to the Fed Group in Tampa. I'm actually on the road right now getting gas. I'm 25,
wow.
And that's pretty much me for now.
Okay. All right, Brother Frank. Well, you be careful out there because I know you're just leaving Texas last night or this morning. So you be careful, and thank you for joining us anyway. And Sister Yatira is actually the host of this show, Young, Gifted, and Black, but we're kind of changing positions tonight because I wanted to honor my dear sister and wish her the best. You know, she's only, well, how old are you, Sister Yatira, 22?
21, yes, ma'am.
21, oh, my Lord. You know, she's the baby of our nation-building family, and so, wow, I am just so touched. So, sis, Tell me something. You put a post on Facebook, and you said he proposed, and you said yes. Is that how it happened?
I mean, that's the basis of it, but, you know, it was a little bit more than that. He surprised me with, you know, the believers, my believer family that's really close to me that's here in Tampa, you know, that I see every day, and he had them, you know, come up to a restaurant, and I thought we were going out, and meeting our chaperones there. And when we got there, the table was full of, you know, full of smiling faces and balloons. And, you know, I walked in and he had our song playing, which is Casey and JoJo, All My Life. So it was just like, this is a dream. I just couldn't believe it was really happening. I was just in shock. And, you know, he got down on one knee and told me, when he told me he loved me, that, you know, I told him to prove it. So that's when he pulled out his ring, got down on one knee.
I love it. I love it. Brother Frank, that was smooth, brother. That was smooth.
Okay.
That was smooth.
Now,
and you're a young man yourself. How old are you, Brother Frank?
I am
25. Okay. Now, what I want is Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley are very beautiful examples of how we survive our marriages and hard times, trials, and things of that nature, and conflict resolution, and still being able to stand on our square and be Muslims and be soldiers in this mission. And I want to yield to the sisters first, because Sister Ruth, I want to ask you for any advice that you would have for not only Sister Yatira, but there are a lot of people who are just getting married. I know Brother Vernon and Sister Keisha, a lot of people are just getting married or planning to get married in the future. Can you share with us the role of the wife? Because I think a lot of us may have an idea, but, you know, according to the law of Allah and the instructions that we are given by God Almighty himself, what is the role of the wife, Sister Ruth?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum and congratulations, sister. What's your name, sister?
Sister Yatira. Wake Salam Queen. Thank you.
Yatira, can you spell that?
Yes, ma'am. Yatirah.
Beautiful name. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Queen. All praises to Allah.
All praises are due to Allah. And that's beautiful that you told him in the beginning to prove it, you know, because as women, you know, being brought up in Satan's world, you know, and being abused, and sometimes that when we hear good words, you know, they make us feel good. Because, you know, a lot of us, you know, being raised, you know, how we are raised in America, that, you know, is no value on the woman, you know, that sometimes that when we hear good words, you know, we believe them, you know.
Right.
So it's good that, you know, you have a good head on your shoulders that you ask and approve it. You know, and what I would say, you know, to you as Sister Queen asked me to share is, you know, what is the role of a wife? And I would say that first, love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, guess what? No one else is going to love you. You know? So when you love yourself, you bring that spirit of love in everybody else. So it's like it's an energy that you carry when you love yourself. And even when people are hating and you love yourself, guess what? After a while, they start loving you. You know, because their hate can't turn you, you know, against yourself. So I would say to you is that love yourself. And when you love yourself, like the minister teaches us, is the love of God. He said you can't say you love God and you don't love yourself. So when you love yourself, you're showing God that you love him because he created you. He made you a woman, a black woman. You know, so you are very special to him. And when you love yourself, you're showing him gratitude because you're telling Allah, Allah, I know who I am. I know what you made me to be, you know? And I think that that's, you know, very important on your role as a wife, you know, because it's going to help you when you have to go through hurdles in the relationship, you know, because, I mean, you have, you know, two different souls trying to become one. So there's going to be a little friction, you know. There's going to be a little warring, you know, with the old mind, you know. But when you, you know, when you have Allah, you definitely going to be the winners, you know, and always put Allah first in everything in your relationship. You know, always Allah first. You know, he's not secondary. He don't come after the husband. He don't come after the children. Allah don't come after the bills. You know, Allah is first. And when you make him first, sister, you will, he will put you on top of the world. And you will know and you will feel it. You will, you know, you will feel like you're on top of the world. You know, so always keep Allah first. And, you know, always be supportive of your black man. As long as you see him striving to be right in his wicked world, you know, support him. Give him, you know, inspiration. You know, even though he get a little bump, that's the time when you're supposed to pick him up, not beat him down, you know. So if you see that, you know, he got fired, you know, because, I mean, we experienced that a lot with my husband. and it was not because, you know, lazy man or you know, ignorant, dumb, you know, none of that, but it was because of his belief.
Mm.
Because him believing in Allah and him walking, you know, with strength. You know, they hate to see a black man coming that got strength.
Right.
You know. So, hold on real quick. Somebody's knocking at my door. Hold on, please.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, while we're waiting on Sister Ruth, Sister Yatira, are there any questions? Are there any questions that you may have that you think you might want to ask?
Well, I don't know which way to take this call. The two questions that are on my mind right now are dealing with confrontation, and, you know, on one hand, dealing with the arguments and how, in dealing with each other in the best of manners, you know, when you're having a heated argument, how do you best resolve it? Like, how do you really get to the bottom of it in the best of manners? But, you know, I'm a woman and the emotions arise and all that good stuff. So rising above the emotions, I know it's going to be part of the answer, but, you know, how do we get to that?
Wow. Is Sister Ruth back with us?
Yes, ma'am. Can you ask that question one more? I heard the last part of it, but the beginning not too clear.
Yes, ma'am. I was just asking how, when we're dealing with, you know, confrontations and arguments and things of that nature, you know, how do you deal with it, or how do you get your best results, you know, dealing with each other in the best of manners? And like I said, I know rising above the emotions is part of the answer, but even that part, how do you get to that level where, you know, you could just rise above them like it's nothing and resolve it in the best manner?
And I think that, you know, most of the trials that you are going to go through in your marriage will be that, you know, will be communication, how you both communicate with each other. You know what I'm saying? And so definitely studying, you know, proper dialogue, studying proper handling of people, you know, and applying it and practicing it, you know, with each other is going to take you so long. You know what I'm saying? It's going to, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes we have to take the low road. You know, we have to be humble. You know, we have to, I mean, I heard, you know, times where the minister, you know, expressed him and Mother Khadijah's relationship. And, you know, sometimes he would just go off, you know what I'm saying? And she would just let him go off, you know? So, and it takes strength, you know, to do that. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, love for you to do that. Because if you don't love that person, guess what? You're going to be like, whatever, who you think you are. And before you know it, the marriage is over. But it's love that helps us to, you know, struggle. You know what I'm saying? To overcome the struggle. It's that love that drives us to be patient with that person, knowing that, you know, most of us had rough upbringing. You know, most of us didn't have no good examples of what a real father looks like, what a real mother looks like. You know, they did the best they could do, but, you know, that was not a good example. You know, I mean, it's been times where we've been to the project, and, I mean, I hear mothers talking to their little 5-7-year-olds talking about, you know, good ML. You know, I mean, calling that baby words that I don't even use, but it's a child. So imagine that child being brought up in that environment that he was always told that he was no good, was never going to be nothing, he ain't nobody, you know. So he grows up with that mentality. So, you know, he's going to have issues dealing with people when he grows up. You know, and that's why the minister got us into Dynetics, because he knows that we all grew up with those issues, whether it was abused physically, you know, mentally, emotionally, sexually, whatever. It's just we've been abused. And when you study Dynetics, you know, it helps you, like it says, go through it and overcome it, you know. So definitely I would suggest for you and your husband, your future husband, to study, you know, the proper handling of people, you know, proper dialoguing with each other. And if you're not in Dynetics right now, you know, that is definitely a blessing if you, you know, go ahead and start studying it and get into it and become auditors so you can help each other.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Praises due to Allah. Okay, we don't want to leave Brother Frank out. Brother Frank.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you're a very young man, you know, especially to an old woman like me. You're a very young man. And so, did you realize that she was the one? And then I want to know, at what point did you know that you were ready to take on the responsibility of being a husband? Because that's a big title, especially for a young man. So how did you know she was the one? And then how did you know you were ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to answer, if you don't mind, I'm going to answer that question in reverse. I'm going to answer how I know I was ready first, and then how to see what's the one.
Okay.
I knew I was ready when Allah blessed me with my vision, because before I was doing my music, and I had that in my mind, but I can't remember the exact day or when, but Allah gave me, like, put on my heart what I really wanted to do was produce, because I'm a very, very writer. Like, I write songs, I write plays, I write movies. And when it came to me that I was reading as a black man, he said, you can do whatever you want to at will. And I realized that nothing stopped me from producing movies, TV shows. I started writing scripts. And I realized, like, I came with a plan for myself on how to do it. And I realized I have a mission now. Now I need to help because I made good money at my job. I was, you know, I had an apartment. I had a car. The brother of my mom kept on hinting that guy. But Frank, of course, you know. But, right, us talking about it on every conference call we seem to get on, every that's why I mean there's something about marriage. I knew I had my mission, like I knew what I'm doing with my life, so they say a man needs to help me. And so I realized, okay, I need to start looking for help. So that's how I knew I was ready, when I knew that I had my mission. I knew she was the one kind of honestly right away, because in like our very first conversation ever, we was messaging on Facebook, and I told her to go download my app, and she was like, you know, brother, I understand you're aggressive and assertive, and that's really good, but keep in mind, get the other talking to an MCT. And right away from the beginning of our dialogue, she said on the teaching a lot, you know, and so I knew right away she was a soldier. And that impressed me. But I knew she was the one when it got to the point to where I would talk to her like she was myself. And like, she would see things like through me that I wasn't trying to show her yet. Like, we'd be talking on the phone, and I would say something, and I would give some kind of vague, facade answer, and she saw straight through it. Like, one day was on the phone. Just to give an example, one day we was on the phone. She said, can you braid hair? And I'm like, girl, I'm a man. She goes, that's an emphatical yes. I was like, how did you know? But she was like, she just seems to know who I am. Like, she just seems to know. And, like, the phone conversation got to the point to where I literally felt like I was talking to myself. And it was just like, we'll be on the same wavelength so much that I would be thinking something and she would text it to me for the same thing I would do for her. And so I knew she was the one when I knew that I couldn't hide from her. Because the sister just said on the phone a second ago, you know, so many of us grow up with a bruise because we get told this, if we get told that. And so for me personally, I built up so many walls, but she came in right away and, like, she seemed to evade all of my defense mechanisms to where nobody could get close to me, nobody could see the side of me. And, like, she knew instantly. Like, she just knew certain things about me that I wasn't showing her. And she said, one day she said to me, she said, you know what? Just like a lie, just allow me to see your heart. And when she said that to me, that was like, well, I mean, the pits were down. Like, she got me, you know, stone cold gunpoint. So I knew she was the one that
Well, you know, there's an MGT code that we don't break, but I'm going to break this one because I asked her about you, Brother Frank. And I asked her, I said, how did you know he was the one? And just to sum it up real quick, she said, he is everything I ever wanted in an FOI. So that is an original salute to you, dear brother, because I know her standards are high. And if you have met those standards, all praises due to Allah. So thank you for being a straight-up soldier. And Brother Stanley.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we got young brother Frank on the phone. This is his first time at the broom, so let's talk about the role of the husband.
Well, the first thing I would say, Sparkon said that compatibility, 50% of it is your belief. And mere belief, the Holy Quran says, counts for nothing unless carried into practice. And as my wife so beautifully put, that every man must have Christ as his head. If Christ is not number one in your life, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, God, Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Fuad Muhammad, the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then we will fail in being what we call husband. And husband means one who is a caretaker of something or someone that does not belong to you. The man has to realize that the woman you intend to marry is not your woman. That's God's woman. And when you love and honor God, you will love and honor his creation. So your relationship with Allah as a husband, who is the master maintainer, will help grow you into himself. Because your wife is by nature, Brother Frank, or your future wife, inshallah, by nature, is always to equal herself up to God. You don't have to tell her to pray. If you get up and pray and lead your family to prayer, her nature will compel her to join you. You don't have to tell your wife to read the Word of God, to live according to the Word of God. When you are being that example, her nature is the one to equal herself up to you, the God in you. So a husband is a maintainer of his wife. And you have to look up the word maintenance and everything that goes along with it. Your job is to spiritually maintain her. You have to be very sensitive to when her spirit is low. You can't be walking out the house, I'm going to work, but you see her spirit is low. Would you leave God's woman in that state? Even if you got to go to call her on the phone and give her a word from her Lord, not from your opinion, not from what you think, a word from her Lord that will elevate her spirit, to bring it from maybe apathy to joy. You got to maintain her mentally. Don't let her remain in a state of ignorance. Encourage her to be educated. Encourage her to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, but you be the source of inspiration to want her to want to learn more. Physically, a husband will maintain his wife physically. You can't let your wife walk around malnutrition. You have to provide the best of foods for her. You have to provide for her the best of Muslim garments. Garments that will clothe her embellishments that she will be known and not be given trouble. You know, when you met her, I'm sure that her hair's done, nails done, everything done. You don't want her to be under you and then people see her and say, wow, she had her hair styled 2 years since she'd been with Brother Frank. Hey, man. She used to keep her nails tight. Now, like, she's biting her nails under Brother Frank.
Yes, sir.
Always have her garment pressed. Now she don't care how her garment all wrinkled. And man, she looked like she wore that garment yesterday. They're going to say, that's a poor husband. That's a poor maintainer. So you got to know, brother, that a man's goodness based upon Prophet Muhammad, and peace be Allah be upon him, in the hadith, is not measured by how much money you got, although money is important in a relationship. It's not measured by how wise you are. It's measured by how you treat God's woman. So that's what I would say to that, Sister Queen, and not to, you know, go too far with your question.
Yes, sir. And I want to give, we have some questions, and I want to give Brother Frank an opportunity to ask anything that he may want to ask at this time.
Yes, ma'am. The brother who just spoke, your name slips me, brother, but that's very beautiful. You actually asked some questions I had in my mind, but one question that's very prevalent on my mind right now is balance. It's like between work and the mission and the things I know I want to get done with my life. How do you maintain that balance? Because like, in my head, I see it as everything on the schedule. Like, okay, you know, the time I seen with you was going to be between 2 and 4 on Tuesdays, you know, PM, and like, but I don't want it to seem like I'm scheduling her time, but it's like I want to be sure to be giving her, you know, adequate time and actual, like, balance and everything. So, like, how do you maintain balance? Is it a day-to-day thing? Is it a week-by-week thing, month-by-month thing? Like, how do you maintain balance with all the aspects of everything we do with FOI?
Oh, great question. Brother Frank, the best way to maintain balance is to know your priorities. Everything in your life that's first, it has to be God. God should be first in everything you do. It's God, then family. Nothing comes before family except God. Then your nation. And when you put nation before family, family before God, that's imbalance. And you, Brother Frank and Sister Yetiria, right? Yetira or Yetiria?
Yetira.
Thank you. Sister Yetira, you both have to be an encouragement of that balance. Yetira, I know you want an FOI. I know you want a man.
Right.
And Brother Frank, I know you want that MGT to help you in your vision and your mission. But you can't be selfish, and you can't be self-centered and expect the relationship to work. Although you want that man to tell you how beautiful you are, although you want that man to open the door for you and give you roses, you want that man to say poems to you and propose to you like he so beautifully did in a romantic way on that one knee. Oh, man, you just went real romantic with it, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Frank is a smooth criminal.
He's a smooth operator. He's a smooth. But, you know, if that man does all that for you, Sister Yetira, what if he doesn't pray but he gives you attention but not God? What if he does not read the word of God, but he's watching not BET, but I call it NET, nigga entertainment. But he's telling you, you know, I love you and giving you all words of attention but ignoring God. And you say nothing. Honey, you haven't been praying. As long as you get attention, I'm okay. He's praying to me. He tells me how beautiful I am and paying homage to me. Mm. No, very soon, if a man gives up on God, he's shortly going to give up on his marriage.
Come on.
And don't, like my wife said, don't be deceived by the good words. Because if the words and the actions don't add up, there's a disease in the heart. And when you say you really love Brother Frank, and you see him being disconnected from God, and the Bible says God is love, do you love him enough to want to see him make it to paradise? Do you love him enough to want to see him live a healthy life and start seeing the smoking blunts? I'm not saying you're going to do that, Brother Frank, but you know.
Yes, sir.
The only way to prevent from being deceived by Satan is knowing you can. You know you can be deceived. Then that's the best way to prevent from being deceived. But if you say, I'll never smoke, I'll never drink, I'll never commit adultery. When a person says that, that's when they are on their way to be deceived by Satan. And so, Brother Frank, answer your question in a nutshell. Real balance, and the Holy Quran calls it mizan, real balance is putting God first in everything you do. God is first, and everything else is secondary. And when you make that which is secondary primary, and that which is primary secondary, you feel empty. You might not know this, what is missing, but you know something's missing, and that something is you're not putting God first, and you're never going to be fulfilled and satisfied as a human being. And your wife's job, your job, Sister Yatira, and even Brother Frank, if you see your wife falling short, although she's cooking for you and cleaning for you and helping you with your business and you're happy with what she's focusing on, your music and your production business and filmmaking, but if she's not praying, if she's not dressing like a Muslim to be known and not be in trouble, and you say nothing as long as she's satisfying your desire. See, that's not love, because you want to see her make it to the hereafter. Because the hereafter is much more than this world life. So that's the balance I would say that every couple needs to have, putting God first. And when God is first, love is in the relationship. When you don't have God, you don't have love. You have what you call infatuation. That's how I would answer the frame.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Sam.
You're welcome, my dear brother.
Okay. Now, we're going to take some questions, and we're going to start with the phone area code. Oh, so many from Georgia. Brother Stanley must have bought his crew. So last four numbers, 4591. Assalamu alaikum, and your mic is now live. Last four numbers, 4591, area code 404.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Brother Stanley, this is Brother Damon.
Damon, good to hear from you, sir.
You too, brother. How you feel tonight?
I thank Allah for life, and how are you, sir?
Everything's good, but all praise belongs to Allah. Got a
beautiful
question, brother. I see that your wife mentioned about your job situation, how you get fired a lot. I've been in that situation a lot, and sometimes I get, you know, you want to do things for yourself, you know, be independent, but you always got that secure job there. So I see that's going to be a challenge as, you know, I'm striving or going forward in this marriage. So get a little bit of advice on that, if you don't mind, brother.
Yes, sir, I'll be more than happy to. And when you're a Muslim and a follower of Honorable Minister Farrakhan, based on the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you are the ultimate aim of this world. And the ultimate aim of this world is to kill your spirit, kill your commitment to Allah. And they find out you are a believer in God, you're going to be persecuted for his name's sake, as the Bible says. And when you are persecuted for his name's sake, sometimes that persecution comes in the form of a pink slip, like me. One day I was in St. Petersburg, Florida. I was a student minister. And I was working as an audiovisual freelancer, making $250 a day. And we had this wonderful community banquet that we honored certain leaders in our community. And the St. Pete Times showed up. And they took a picture of me, and they put it on the front of the St. Pete Times and talking about Nation of Islam, student minister for the Honorable Minister Farrakhan holds a banquet. They have a history of calling white people devils and so forth and so forth. So I'm walking in the office, and this Caucasian co-worker was reading the paper and the article and said, "Hey, Stanley, you're on the front of the St. Pete Times." And the next day, they told me they no longer need my services. See? Now, that was a trial on me, but it was also a trial on my wife. How much do you love the man that you say you love? Now, why is it a trial on your wife? Because the nature of a woman is to be made secure. If I lose my job during that time frame, you know, we were struggling with paying the rent, struggling to build, to take care of financial obligations. And you have to know, Brother DeMond, Brother Frank, is that most marriages end up in divorce because of finances and the lack thereof. And Satan knows that. But God allows Satan to try your love. But you can't say as a man, okay, I'm fired. So you stay there in the bed, and it's noon and you're still in the bed, believing in the mystery God to bring food on your table. You know what I did? I got creative. Because when you love your wife and you love your children, love is a creative force. And the pain of me being unjustifiably fired produced a creative idea. So I said, "Baby, I got a few dollars left from when I was working. Can you make some fish sandwiches?" I didn't know anyone hardly in St. Petersburg. I was a captain in Tampa, but I didn't really know too many people in St. Petersburg. But I had faith that God would see me through that difficult time. And I showed my wife that I love her. And I showed my children I love them. Love is not what you say. Love is what you do. And love is seen when things are not going too well. So when I was going through it, I woke up at 5 a.m. and said my prayers. And I said, "Baby, make them fish sandwiches. How many you want me to make?" I said, "Make 50. That's my goal." And I went and got some juices and other things, snacks with it, some chips to go with it. And I went into a barber shop. I said, "Fish sandwiches," and I was in my suit and bow tie. They looked at me like I was crazy. I said, "Bean pies? What is a bean pie?" And I saw those frowns, Brother Mon. And I saw the strange look and the skepticism. But you know what I said to myself? I said, I'm going to win my people over with love. I'm going to sell these fish sandwiches, and I'm going to do for sale, because the most honorable Elijah Muhammad would not ask you to do something that we don't have the ability to achieve. And one brother from New York, he said, Assalamu alaikum, brother. As I thought this, as I had the spirit to win, a spirit to prevail, that brother said, Assalamu alaikum, brother. I'm from New York. Let me get one of them fish sandwiches. And while I was talking to him, he was eating the fish sandwiches and wiping his lips. He said, let me get another one. It's good. And the brother said, it's good. Yeah, man. Let me get one. And let me get a bean pie. And that gave me the confidence. And I went to the barber shop, the next barber shop and beauty salon. And before you know it, we started a little fish business. And I was able my bills and take care of my obligations with my family. But you got to have a wife that's a believer. And you got to be able to convince your wife that you are going to make it. You share with her the idea, and when she believes in that idea and y'all come to a consensus, don't let her see you laying down on the job. Let her see you making your word bond. And every time you make your word bond, you strengthen her faith and belief that you're going to make it. And that's what I would say to that, my dear brother.
Okay, Brother Devon, did he answer your question?
Yes, ma'am.
All praises due to Allah. Okay. Thank you, Brother DeMond, for joining us tonight. Thank you for your call. Okay, Brother Stanley, we're going to take some more questions, but before we do, I want, since you talked about finances, and I know Sister Ruth, I want to start with you, actually. Sister Ruth, now, you know, we are taught that the man are the men are the maintainers of women, and it's not just a monetary maintenance. Of course, there's a physical, a mental, a spiritual maintenance of a woman as well. But just like Brother Stanley shared with us, and you shared with us about that loss of financial support. Because I have some questions in the chat room that are centering around that issue. What do you tell a woman when, you know, when the financial times are hard? And, I mean, I know your story. I know some of the things that you did. But I want you to share with us how you deal with your husband and how do you move forward in that situation when the financial times are difficult.
Ma'am, and that's a great question to ask. And, you know, what comes to my mind is that, you know, when you say your marriage, you know, vow, and, you know, you say for richer, and for poor, in sickness and in health, you know, and that's when those, you know, vows are going to be tested. You know, you said it. Now you're going to be tested on what you said. And I know that, you know, I didn't have no, you know, no junkie husband. I know he wasn't no crack addict, no alcoholic. No lazy bum, no trifling brother. So I knew that his love for God was great. So that's when, you know, my love had to be, you know, it had to be seen that I know the type of man you are striving to be. and I'm going to treat you as that. So no matter, you know, how much, you know, how much money we don't have, you, to me, you still a strong black man. To me, you are God's man on this earth, and you are his vicegerent. See, I seen my husband still, you know, as the Son of God. I seen his power, you know, the him getting fired, the finances, you know, going down. I didn't see that as being weak. I seen as it's time for him to, you know, show more strength, you know. And that's how, you know, we have to, when they're down as wives, you know, we can't beat them up. You're not going to get no results, you know, by kicking them. You know, get up, you know, you just got fired. What the heck is wrong with you? You know, you need to leave that fire kind of alone. You know, no, you married a FOI. I married a FOI, so I knew that what he stands for is against this world. So if I know that, then I know that there is going to, this world is against him, and there's going to be things that they do to show him that they're against him. You know, so then I have to inspire him. I have to say, okay, baby, what are we going to do, you know, to make it happen? So, you know, my husband is a great salesman. He could sell anything because he got a, you know, mouth on him. A good mouth, you know. He know how to. Even before he came into Islam, he knew. They used to call him. We used to work at Pizza Hut, and it's funny because, you know, the employees, we all get together, and they'll say, "Oh man, here comes Stan, the preacher man." See, they already back then used to call him the preacher man, because when he taught, he preached. He didn't just talk. He convinced you to believe what he was saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes,
so he still had that spirit that, you know, I'm going, the Most High Elijah Muhammad taught us to do for self. Guess what? That's when Allah blessed my husband to really put the messenger's program in effect. And by Allah's grace, you know, I mean, in his love, the bottom line is that our love has to be great for that man. Because if you know that that man is a good man, you know, and this world is against him, then your job is to help him not rely on this wicked world, but to rely on God, you know. So, and that's what I did, you know. I inspired him. I made sure that I made those fish sandwiches. I mean, it was tiresome, you know. I mean, we had our children working, you know what I'm saying, on the weekends. They didn't have no life. That was our life, to, you know, take care of the family, you know, help my husband go out there and take care of the family, you know. But it, I mean, by Allah's grace, it wasn't for a long time, because, you know, he found other things to do that he didn't have to, you know, put all that weight on us. But it was a temporary, and by Allah's grace, you know, we overcame that trial because we were in it together. You know, we were not divided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I inspired him by Allah's grace, and he was, you know, strong-spirited. He didn't say, oh, I can't do nothing. I'm just going to sit here. Go on over there and file for welfare, you know. Let them take care of us. Never none of that, you know. It was, this is what I'm going to do. And he made, I mean, not knowing no one there, he made it happen by Allah's grace. So it's love that drove him, and it's love that drove me to help him.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to Allah. Okay.
The Queen, I said something as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we have to understand when the Bible says Pharaoh feared the multiplication of the children of Israel. And the plan was kill the male and spare the female. And that's the same mindset of the U.S. government and white America. And black women have to understand that plan. They want to give the woman a job, give her economic opportunity, but tell the black man if he has a degree, he's overqualified. If he doesn't have a degree, he's underqualified. So he's at home without a job. She's working, and she's feeling some type of way. You know, I'm paying the bills. And her voice starts getting a little bit louder and stronger because she doesn't understand the conspiracy. And it's not a coincidence that a lot of brothers are without work. It's by design. So it's very important that this understanding of the environment of white America is to destroy the black family. It's designed to destroy our family. And we have to always be cognizant of that as husband, father, wife, mother. And when you see those certain forces challenging your love, challenging your family, that's when you have to discern it based upon the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan and not be clouded by your emotions. And I think that's very important to understand. And I'm going to tell you, Sister Queen, in those times when the black man's back is against the wall, guess what it taught me? The real pleasure never comes from a woman.
That's right.
It don't come from a woman.
That's right.
As a black man, real pleasure comes from when I can have a creative mind and start having a vision. And I can see that vision come into reality. That is real pleasure for a man.
That's
when that
right.
man idea, I had an idea about starting my own audiovisual company. It was always an idea. But when I saw my company come into existence, that was real pleasure.
Yes,
and that's when you see a man happy. And if a black woman wants to make a man happy and really give him pleasure, help him in his vision. And when you see that vision come into reality, you'll see the most happiest man on the planet.
That's right.
Yes,
sir. All praises due to Allah. Okay, before we go to the listening audience, I want to give an opportunity for Sister Yatira. If you have any questions that you want to ask about anything you heard so far, just something that you've had on your mind that you want to know.
Wow, yes, ma'am. Thank you, Queen. Another question that I have that's kind of prevalent is how do we deal with, you know, like the influence of others, you know, those who are, you know, normally, you know, really close to us and, you know, maybe their advice, because they don't know the full situation, you know, of, the, you know, my relationship with my fiance, you know, how do we deal with when people put in their advice and it's, you know, really strong advice or it's those that are closest to us and, you know, just dealing with everyone and their opinions.
Okay, well, we're going to hear from Sister Ruth first. And Sister Ruth, you want to answer Sister Yatir?
Yes, ma'am. Allah says in the Holy Quran, He instructs us not to take the disbelievers, you know, as counsel or as friends, and not just, you know, friends, associates, but even family members. You know, anyone that does not believe in Allah, then that's someone you don't take, you know, their counsel. You know, because they're not going to counsel you in the way of Allah. You know, in their eyes, they'll be like, girl, you need to leave him alone. You need to let him go. Oh, they fire him. He always getting fired because he think he wanted. You know, I mean, you have family, you know, because, I mean, my husband's family, I mean, it's sad to say that they talked about my husband, you know, worse than my own family. You know, but I always believed in my husband because I know the type of man he is. And I remember one time I told them, because they were making mockery of, you know, our religion and, you know, him being broke. And I remember I said, it's all right. I said, because one day he going to be a millionaire and y'all going to be asking him for all his money. And I said it was. You know what I'm saying? I said it with conviction. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't playing with them. I was serious.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
By Allah's grace, when they see my husband now, they like, in their minds, they like wondering, what is he doing? You know, they see my husband now and they say, wow, he is successful. You know, he has a large family. He takes care of all. I have not worked in 23 years.
Wow.
Have not worked. I have not had a job, you know. And they wonder, like, how can he, you know, do it all this long? And then he buys me a Mercedes-Benz, no payment. They're like, what? How he do that?
Go ahead on, Brother Stanley.
That's the guy that used to be broke all the time.
Right, right.
That's right.
You know, how is he getting blessed like that and he ain't selling no drugs? He ain't robbing nobody?
That's right.
How is he doing it? They see the power of Allah. And it's
yes,
our
ma'am.
Patience. If we just be patient and wait on our strong black men, you know, wait on, be patient. I mean, Allah talks about patience in the Holy Quran many times because he knows the importance of patience. You know, it was patience that he brought out of him when he was creating himself from triple darkness. Look
That's
how long
right.
it took him to create himself. So it was patience was necessary for him to complete that mission. And it's the same thing with us as black women. We have to be patient. When you know you got a good, strong black man, I ain't talking about no, you know, no foolishness. I'm not talking about no man that just talk the talk but don't walk the walk. I'm not talking about, you know, someone that wants to be in the world and in Islam. One foot in the world, one foot in Islam. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you know that you walking with a black man who is striving to be one with God.
That's
you don't
right,
see him, you know, messing around with no women of this world. I don't care how big her A is. He don't even lust after that because he knows what his mission is. And his mission is to bring the new world, God's world. You know when you have that type of man. So if you have
That's
that
right.
type of man, don't get no counsel from no lost found woman who is dissatisfied or your mama who had bad relationships all her life, you know, or whoever, your girlfriend or a sister in the mosque who's bitter. You seek refuge in Allah. You go into the Holy Quran. You see successful marriages in Islam, and you ask them, how can I overcome this? You know, and Allah says, you seek for him, you will get. See, Allah will bless you with guidance. He's not unjust to us. When we seek for his guidance, guess what? He blesses us with his guidance. But we have to
That's
seek
right.
it. You know, so he will grant us the right guidance, you know. But I would say, sister, is that, you know, be patient and wait on Allah's guidance. Don't take no disbeliever, no agent, no hypocrite, no weak. Because, I mean, you know, we got Muslims in the mosque who are weak-hearted. They, you know, they mean no harm. They just weak as hell. So you can't take that. You know what I mean? You got to be, you have to be strong, and you have to show the world that Islam can be lived.
Yes, ma'am.
That Allah did not come. He did not come. It was not a mistake. His coming was not a mistake. Mm-hmm. We say we believe in Allah who came in the person of Master Flaw Muhammad. Now you got to prove to the world what you say you believe is right and exact. So we're going to be tried, but it's our patience that's going to bless us to be the overcomers.
Mm.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, praise is due to Allah. Okay, Brother Frank, I want to give you an opportunity to ask a question from the man Case.
Yes, ma'am. And actually, I had a really good question.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Brother Stanley. Yes, sir. I can barely hear you, though.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to also add to my wife's answer some scriptures that will help my sister.
Yes,
sir. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, in a New International Translation, it says, bad company corrupts good character. So you got to keep them bad company. If you put a rotten apple in the barrel of good apples, what's going to happen to them good apples? It's going to become rotten.
They're going to get
rotten.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to stay away from rotten character women, rotten character men. And if your wife sees you, Brother Frank, with a brother with rotten character, she has a right to say, baby, you shouldn't be hanging around that brother. Because if you do, that rotten spot on him, she'll start seeing that rotten spot on you. And if your husband says, that sister's not good for you, and he can prove it based upon the character is not congruent with the Holy Quran, the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
See, then you have a right to tell your husband, a right to tell your wife, I don't want you hanging around that person. See? Because if you hang around them long enough, their bad character will become yours. And then when you have a disagreement, the Bible says in First Psalms, the very first verse, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So if you, like my wife said, take counsel from the ungodly, your relationship will perish. Your relationship will be like that tree that lacks water and sunlight. That leaf of love will turn yellow, then brown, then it will fall from your commitment that you made in marriage. But if you are like that tree, then plant your relationship by the river of the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you will bear fruit. and everything you do in your marriage will prosper. But it says the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. So everybody in the mosque don't mean the mosque is in them. Hello, somebody.
You better teach.
You better teach. I better teach it. Okay, so the queen said teach it. Just because they ask a lot don't mean they're a believer. Have you not read in the book of Job when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord? And the sons of God thought they were hanging out with the righteous. But Satan came along with them. And the sons of God didn't even... So that means the sons of God was deceived by Satan. Even the wisest of us, the most scholarly of us, can be deceived by Satan. So don't you think because you're so knowledgeable, you can't be deceived. So when they present themselves before the Lord, guess what the Lord says? When it's come about, Satan, he stepped out. He said, okay, I'm busted. So Satan was hanging out with the righteous. So you said, as you go to the mosque, what's the first thing they do when you go to the mosque? What happens? You get what?
You get checked.
You get searched.
You get searched. Very good. Mm-hmm. What are they looking for?
Checking spirit, weapons.
Spirit, weapons. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Well, you went to the mosque yesterday. Well, why are they searching you today?
You could turn hypocrite overnight.
Overnight. Right, right.
So every day, you got to search your friends to make sure they're still that.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been your friend yesterday, but they could have turned devil overnight.
Mm. That's right.
And so, and your mosque is your mind, Sister Yatira, Brother Frank, and your ears is the door to your mosque. And every time someone speaks to you, you have to search their words, and you are comparing it to the Word of God. And if it's not congruent to the Word of God, it's a weapon that will assassinate your spirit. And it might be a weapon that assassinates your love for God and your love for your husband. Love for God and love for your wife, if you let it in your heart. And if it's not the Word of God, if it's slander, if it's gossip, if it's backbiting, can you please take that back to where you got it from?
Right.
We'll commit that weapon into our minds and heart and soul as a believer. And I close with, if you and your husband have a disagreement, there is a whole section in the Holy Quran in chapter 4 called disagreement between husband and wife. And it gives you instructions what to do. And then the Holy Quran in the 50, chapter 4, verse 58, I think it's 59, it says, when two believers quarrel, refer it to Allah and his messenger. See? 59. So if you quarrel, and quarreling is forbidden, though. You can argue in the best of manner, but don't quarrel. Because when you quarrel, it's like you kill the spirit of love in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to kill the spirit of love because when you get finished quarreling, you feel like you don't love her no more. You feel like you don't love him no more. And guess what? You leave him, and then some brother talks sweet to you. You feel, okay, I wish you would talk to me like that. And then you start having attraction towards that man.
Oh.
That's Satan. Because Satan deceives you to make you think what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. And when she talks to you all kind of rough and then you quarreling and you leave the house, then the sister talk to you sweet and say, hey, Frank, what you doing, Frank? Frank, you're multi-shot. Jesus, your children say, oh, you're no good, you make me sick. Now, you're my companion, the sweet voice to the rough voice. So Satan now, that's the doorway that he comes in and starts altering your love. And you start looking at that strange woman like you should look at your wife. And start looking at your wife like you should look like you're looking at that strange woman. You know what I'm saying? Your wife is not the strange woman. The strange woman is a strange woman. But Satan makes you that strange woman is more loving to you. But she didn't cook for you. She didn't do a damn thing for you. But say something sweet. See? That brother ain't even for you. But he just said something.
That's right.
That sound good. That sound good. He compliments you when you're
vulnerable.
When you're vulnerable, there you go. When you're vulnerable. That's when you got to keep your guard up. When your relationship is going through trials, that's when you got to really seek refuge in Allah. Because trials manifest your weakness. That's what's most weak when you go through trial. So just be conscious of that and you'll be all right. And seek refuge in Allah. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to share your thought.
And I know Brother Frank did not say nothing to nobody because I heard Sister Yatira while you was talking. She was like, ha ha, yeah, okay. Yeah, Sister Yatira said, yeah, ha ha, yeah, like he better go out there and see something sweet. He won't see nothing else. I caught that.
Well, you know what? Yatira.
Yes,
let me tell you, don't be no fool now. When you say I do, guess what? That's when the work begins.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Don't say, okay,
that's
when you
right.
say I do, okay, I got them now. No, you ain't got them. No. Every day you got to work to maintain your relationship. And you every day you gotta grow the love, nurture the love. The love is in degrees. Love is not it's stages to love.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that the stage of where your love is, it needs to grow more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's duty that grows love. It's food for love. It's duty to God, duty to your husband, duty to your wife. That's the sunlight and the water. And the fertile soil that grows love.
You don't
have the luxury as a woman to say, I don't feel like cooking. And he's been working all day.
Right.
Come on, go to Subway and get you a sub. I ain't got time for you. What? I don't say, what the heck is going on? But he might go to Subway and he might find something else at Subway.
Why do I say that?
A strange woman. Because you know what, Sister Yatira? There's always a woman trying to get your man. You know that, right?
Yes,
hold on, but don't get me in trouble now. Don't get me in trouble.
No, that's
true. And you know why I say that? Because I said earlier, hey, look, kill the male and spare the female. So what does that mean? If most of the men are destroyed because they're homosexual, destroyed because they're on drugs, destroyed because they're in prison, and a whole lot of women out there, that makes women low market value and men high market value.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Satan decided that way. So now
yes,
when they see your man, they see him as high market value. But when men see women, they don't see him as high market value. That's why they can play with women. They mistreat women because they see them as being a low market value because there's so many out there that's single, that's desperate. Man. So you have to be cognizant of the environment that your husband is in and make sure you protect him from his own weakness. And always looking cute when he come home. You know, the day you're going to look on your wedding day, you know how you get so excited, you get that dress and you go to the hairdresser and you get them nails done, you know, hair done, everything done, you shop, get your toes done. Well, why you do that for one day?
Keep that up.
You
got to
do that every day. Keep it up.
That's right.
You got to keep his eyes on you, and not just physically, but even spiritually and mentally. You got to keep him.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I got something to say to you, but I'm going to wait.
Okay, we're going to let Brother Frank answer a question, and then we got a ton of questions on the phone and in the chat room. So, Brother Frank, is there anything you want to ask at this point in time? Because I know you kind of like in the hot seat. He don't know what to do.
yes, ma'am. Actually, I do have a question, and it's for both the sister and the brother, but the family and his wife. Because one part of it is the ego, and the other part deals with the role of a helpmeet. Now, for the family, I know from the Quran, you know, men are the maintainers of women, and, you know, when it comes to money, the money that the woman makes is for her, and the money that the man makes is for both. Now, when it comes to bills, should a brother allow a sister to help him with bills if she wants to? By that, I mean, let's say rent is a dollar, right, and I only make $1.50, and I can cover the rent. If she goes, okay, I will put 20 cents on the rent, so making it only 80 for me, allowing me to have 70 left over, 70 cents left over. And with that money, I can, you know, take it to, you know, help further my business faster. Instead of waiting for toothpickers to get this camera, I can get it with that first one, you know, net roll. But at the same time, how does that fit in for the role of her nature? If I allow that, I want her to here. But especially if I can do it, why not do it for her to save her money and spend it how she wants to and handle the bills and just, you know, take my time progressing with building my production company or whatever it is I'm doing with the money, because on one hand, I want her to secure and want her to know that her man got this, at least for now anyway, while I can. But on the back side, I don't want to hinder her desire to be a help to me because of my ego or pride or vanity of once walking around my chest out like, well, I got this, you know, I'm the man, you know. But it's like, so, like, would it be proper to allow her to help if she can? Because I wouldn't have a problem, you know, if it came down to it, written for dollars and I got fired or, you know, something happened to where now this month I take a little short, I need you to help me. That I don't mind asking for, because she's going to cover it down temporarily. But allowing her to help if she wants to, not me asking, hey, can you do this for me, but her saying, I want to help you, you know, cover this. Like, should I allow it or should I say no, you know, and just do it all on my own?
Well, brother, that's a good question, and I would like to answer it like this. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan says that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the men are the maintainers of women. It is your job and your role to maintain her. And the diameter of your paycheck prescribes the circumference of your spending habit. And your wife's desires have to be within the parameters of what you're making. Now, your goal, of course, is to take care of your wife, maintain her without her help. But if she sees you struggling and she desires to help you, the Holy Quran says consider it a blessing and mercy. But as she is sharing in your responsibility, then you have to sometime put the apron on and chop up some carrots and sweep the floor and help her with hers. That's a form of reciprocation. So it's not wrong for her to want to help you. No, that's not wrong, because like my wife shared with you, she helped make some fish sandwiches, you know, and she, you know, sacrificed to help me. And that was something that I didn't have to tell her to do. Her love for me to be successful. See? It inspired her to get up and help her husband. That's what wives do. They're to help you wherever you need help. See, help. Think about the word help. When you say help and you're drowning, that means you're saying I'm inadequate to save myself. I need someone with the tools, with a life raft or someone to bring me out of this water. I'm drowning. You see? If a doctor is a doctor and he's very skilled, he still needs help. He still needs a nurse. Right?
Yes, sir.
So when you talk about a help me, she is to help you where you're inadequate. That's her nature. So when she sees an inadequacy that prevents you from reaching your goal, her love for you is going to kick in. Her nature going to kick in. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Moses, he had an impediment of speech, right?
Yes, sir.
So he needed a helper that had a what? An eloquent tongue. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So that's showing you on the spiritual level, husband and wife. And now here on the physical level, it's the same principle. See? Whatever that chief prophet lacked, God always gave him a companion to compensate for what he lacked. Look at the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was not eloquent in speech, but Allah gave him Farrakhan. You can't get no better tongue than that. He speaks the tongue of angels, for sure. So remember, look in yourself. Study yourself, Brother Frank, and look and be courageous enough to see your inadequacies, and then Sister Yatira should have those as her strength. That's what makes you compliment each other. And all of this should be discussed in courtship, not after you get married. You come to a consensus in courtship so you don't have any kind of doubt. See, doubt, Muslims don't move in doubt. Never do that. If you're 99% sure, you don't make a decision on 99%. You got to be 100% sure this is the will of God. And then you make it, then you move out on that decision. But the Muslim, when lightning strikes, we take a few steps and we stop. We don't move in darkness. So if you're not, that's why you and your wife or your future wife have to sit down and discuss these issues you're discussing now and come to a consensus. And remember, agreement is the basis of love. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, and I close with this, it asks the question, can two people walk together unless they are agreed? You're not going to walk together if you're not in agreement. So whatever doubt you have in terms of the way you're going to function as a family, this is the time now to come to an agreement. Even you got to wrangle for 2 hours. Sometimes my wife and I, we discuss disagreements from 11 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock in the morning. Thank Allah it was prayer time. Because we actually had to call on God. And then after we prayed, Allah blessed us with agreement. And when you dialogue and you come, you know, you have a disagreement, there's three things you got to stay away from that prevents you from coming to a consensus or agreement. That's pride, as we're talking about. This is what the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan teaches us. Pride, vitriol or anger, or contentious spirit, and emotions. These are three things that are deadly. And they will make you, you know, disagreeable, and you will remain, you know, in disagreement until you remove those three impediments: pride, emotions and vitriol. Come seek the truth. Just deal with the truth, and the truth settles all differences. And that's what I would say to that. Thank you for allowing me to share. I hope I answered that question, Brother Frank. Did I answer it for you?
Yes, sir. You answered from the brother's perspective, but now what I sister's perspective on how it makes her feel, like what she eventually starts to, what that eventually starts to erode at her core when she's putting in on bills, even though the man is, you know, even though he can cover it, but he's still working his mission, and he's not just, you know, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to work even harder, still working just harder, even harder, getting the mission done, but does that affect the sister in her nature to want to secure it, even though, like, helping him, not meet his obligation, but that he can make it on his own, but she's helping him, you know, build his vision fast, so does that, you know, erode on her character as far as the need to feel secure about her man?
Ruth, I think he's asking you.
I'm sorry, brother. Can you repeat the beginning of the question? Because I got you at the end. Were you asking the same thing you asked my husband?
Well, I was, but he gave me the male perspective of it. You know, dealing with the pride, the ego, and, you know, coming to agreement on it. But what I want to know, sister side of it is, you know, her helping, you know, like I said before, like, say rent a dollar, and I make $1.50, so I can cover the dollar by myself, no problem. But because of the money I have left over, I'm not able to achieve my vision faster because I have to wait, you know, for more and more checks to come in order for me to, you know, to produce what I need. So, you know, she's willing to, you know, help with 20 cents on that rent, so making it 80. My question is, if I allow her to do that, does that eventually get to her character, you know, as far as feeling the need to be secure, as far as if she, when she eventually starts to look at the man differently because she deals that to him on that aspect, even if she can do it by herself, but does that eventually start to kind of, you know, make her look at the man differently as not being as much of a man or, you know, not feeling as secure because he's not doing it by himself or...
Yes, sir. And I believe it depends on, well, you know, like my husband said, and the minister, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan, teaches us that, you know, the nature of a woman is to be maintained by her husband, you know. But I heard the minister say that, you know, sometimes it takes two incomes, you know, to, you know, make ends meet. You know, and nowadays you have a lot of women who, you know, are corporate America women. You know, they like to work. You know, they went to college, you know, to get a career. They want to be doctors, lawyers. So if you have that type of wife, then, you know, to her, you know, she feels blessed that she can help her husband, the man that she loves. Especially when she sees him trying. You know, if she sees you trying and you striving, then she, you know, she is just, she sees that she don't look down on you, you know. But I think that what happens is that when children start coming into the picture, then, you know, it becomes, you know, sort of different because, you know, by nature, it's our job to rear and raise those children. And one thing I teach all my daughters, I said, don't let no career, I have a daughter that wants to be a doctor, you know, and I told her, I said, don't let no career, you know, no job neglect your children. And I always taught my daughters that. I don't care if you got to stay in a one-bedroom apartment that your husband can afford. You know, that's what you're going to do. But you're not going to neglect your children because I didn't neglect you. I didn't put you in no daycare. You know, I didn't, you know, have someone, a stranger, watch over you. You know, I sacrificed to make sure that you were taken care of.
You know, so I instill that in my daughter so they're willing, you know, to go through something with their husbands, you know, if that's the case. You know, but by Allah's grace, to me it depends on, you know, that. You know, if that woman, you know, especially as an MGT, you know, like the minister teaches us, our base is our home. You know, and I don't see no woman should neglect her children to make money or to, you know, get a career. You know, I don't, to me, it's really at the end, it's not going to be beneficial. You know, so it's better if you sacrifice now, you know, and go through it and just grow together financially. I mean, for many, you know, my husband and I, we had 9 children by Allah's grace, 7 girls, 2 boys, and only 1 year my daughter went to public school. Now, all the rest of the years, they were in private school or they were homeschooled. So we sacrificed, you know, we didn't stay in a big mansion. We sacrificed to put our children in a Muslim environment. You know, instead of having a big house, no, we had tuition. Instead of having a nice, luxurious car or even a car at all, we paid tuition. You know, so those were our, in our, you know, children's lives, those were our priorities, that our children, you know, get the best of what, you know, we can afford. And that's what we did. So I believe that once you, if you make that woman other than herself, then you're going to have a problem. You know, so when you start, you know, getting her to neglect her, you know, children, then it's going to, you know, become a problem. So that's what I would say, brother.
We lost Brother Frank. I'm trying to get him back on the phone. Brother Frank, are you there? Brother Frank? Okay. Inshallah, because his mic is live, so he should be with us. But listen, we are so close and running out of time. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take questions from the phone, and I'm going to go between the phone and the chat room. And Brother Frank's phone keeps dropping. I'm thinking that he's having a battery issue. So we're going to take some questions from the line. So many people from Georgia. So let me go with area code 404. Last numbers are 0710. Your mic is now live. Last 4 numbers, 0710. Your mic is live if you have a question or a comment. Go on one.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Salih Muhammad. Actually, Brother Stanley answered the question that I was going to ask in his answering the other question. So, I admire the completeness of his answers. He and his wife are giving such a beautiful display of Islam as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad through his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, Brother Salih.
Alaykum salam, beloved.
Sister Queen, this is a great pioneer of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he was a southern regional minister here in Atlanta from 1984 to 87, Brother Salih.
Yes, sir.
And he is now, you know, my spiritual counselor in College Park Study Group. So I'm honored to have him online and to give us his wonderful input.
Yes, absolutely. So, brother, do you have any advice for our young up-and-coming couple who are, Sister Yatira, when is the wedding date? Is it April?
Yes, ma'am, April 26th.
Okay. So this coming April, any advice to them, sir?
Well, you know, one thing that I could say is that don't when you are considering, when you're in courtship, as Brother Stanley said earlier, this is the time to ask and address the hard questions. And, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said there's three things that we use to judge people: what they say, what they do, and who they associate with. And if those things are not, those three things are not congruent, then we really need to be careful of the person. They can be saying one thing out of their mouth, but if their actions are not corresponding with the things that they're saying or the people that they associate with, like Sister Ruth and, was advising you earlier, you know, she knew the quality of the husband that she had in Brother Stanley. And our brothers, Mr. Stanley and his wife, both of them gave such beautiful advice in saying that, you know, all these things should be congruent. The person that you're in courtship with, his life should be lined up with the things that he is saying, he's professing. And as a believer, we should be looking for another believer who believes on their own, who have a desire. You know, I've been blessed with the wife that I have and our courtship. We used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and say our prayers together over the phone.
Mm.
And that was the basis of our relationship. It was a spiritual base. We prayed together by phone. So, you know, our conversations were about what we, you know, desire, what we hope for in our walk in our, with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings through our Messiah in our midst, this man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in our midst, and the love that he has displayed for us. So, I mean, I really didn't want to say anything when I was really going to ask a question to get Brother Stanley to say what he already said. But he and his wife have given such good advice over this phone line. And so if there's anything I could say, sister, make sure that what a person says, what they do, and the people they associate with are congruent, are all lined up together. Because you can't be saying you're a Muslim, but every time you turn around, you're not associating or fellowshipping with Muslims, associating or fellowshipping with lost fans. You're hanging in the streets. You know, you can't be around the activities of the believers because you're always doing activities with other people who don't walk in that way. That's not to say that you don't have relationships with your family and with friends that you have. That's how we bring people to this teaching. They have to see something in us that makes them ask us questions about the life that we're living. And when they ask us a question, they've given us their permission to teach them. But the advice that Brother Stanley and his wife, Sister Ruth, gave, I think was very profound, and you would be wise to adhere to it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for all of your years of service. Thank you just for sharing with us. All praises due to Allah. And may Allah continue to bless you, sir. And inshallah, maybe we can have you on our program one day soon.
Thank you, Brother
yes,
Salim.
Thank you, Bilal. Thank you, Brother.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. We're going to take a question from 619, area code 619.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am. Good to be back. I've been away for a few days. Yeah, I have a question. I wanted to say something to Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley first. A sister is always telling me, she says, you can tell if something is good for you by the way that it makes you feel. You two have made me feel real good over here tonight. I'm just loving all the advice you've given, and trust me, you're not some beautiful song like the minister said the other night. I really am listening to you. So my question is, yes, sir. My question is that sometimes since the woman is, you know, by nature a teacher, how do we, and I hate to say correct, you know, because if I don't think it's a good wife who can stand by and just watch her husband fall deeper and deeper and not say something, you know, to him because she's scared of the way he's going to react. So how can the woman talk to the, how can the wife talk to her husband and, you know, so she doesn't have to hear, oh, you're always throwing the teachings at me or trying to ram the teachings down my throat. So how does the woman do that without coming, you know, office, you know, like she's trying to instruct him because lots of times men don't want to be instructed by women.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful question.
Thank you.
And what I would say is that, you know, if you don't want no hypocrite husband, well, that means you got to keep the teachings in his face. But it's the way we do it, you know, and that's the important thing is how we do it. You know, and I believe that if Malcolm X, if his wife would have been strong in the faith with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I believe she could have helped guide her husband to overcome what he was going through. You know, when we gossip with our husbands, you know, about negative things, it doesn't help. You know, you want to make a man for God. You don't want to make no punk. You know, so then you got to think about when I'm gossiping to my husband, is this feeding the nature of God in him or is this feeding the weakness side of him? You know, so that's the things that we have to think as wives. What do we want that man to be? And if you want a God-fearing man, if you don't want no punk and you don't want no hypocrite, then make him strong. Help your husband. Inspire him to be strong. Don't gossip. Don't talk about other sisters to your husband. Don't talk about, you know, other brothers to your husband. Now, if it's you're reporting a brother and being disrespectful or whatever, that's different. But if you have, if, you know, if your husband come to you and say, oh, man, I can't stand brother so-and-so. You know, even though you might not like brother so-and-so, you can't be like, oh, yeah, baby, I understand what you're saying. I can't stand him either. No, you got to be a shield. And you got to say, you know, what is it that Allah is trying to teach you, honey? What is it in that brother that Allah wants to bring something out of you? What is it about him that makes you not like him? You know, so we have to dialogue with our husbands like that, and we have to put positivity in their minds, you know, even when we might not, you know, we might see it the other way. See, you got to work for God. You can't work for yourself or your emotions. Because when you try to get him connected to you, it's not going to last. But when you connect him to Allah, it will last forever. You know, so that's what I would say is that, you know, inspire him in the way of Allah, regardless of, you know, how you see it. As long as it's right, then that's what, you know, you do as a good wife.
Yes, ma'am. Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And thank you, Sister Michelle. It's good to hear your voice. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Sister Ruth got me like you. Y'all not going to make me cry tonight, okay? That was just beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's how the truth touches us, sister. That's how
yes,
it is. Well, thank you, Sister Michelle. We're going to take another question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brother Kareem, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Now, Brother Kareem, I know you've been on here a while, but I don't know if you knew or not, but our baby girl, Sister Yatira, is getting ready to jump the broom. And, Sister, yes? Yes, Sister Yatira. Oh,
Yes, ma'am. I'm quite aware.
April the 26th is the big day, and and the culprit, Brother Frank, is on the phone. The one that's taking our baby. No. No, that's our dear Brother Frank X. So any advice to them, Brother Kareem?
Well, I would say this, you know, as always, in the name of Allah, and I know the time is short, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and I would say this, that number one, everything that I've heard has been excellent. It is all excellent guidance for you. See, I mean, I use the term guidance because I never use the term advice because I don't want to add any of my vices to you. I want you to stay away from all vices. like I said, but I've heard excellent guidance from Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth. You know, I mean, just excellent. I mean, they are, in my view, they are the perfect example of husband and wife. I mean, that's in my view. All right, and I have to say that. The only thing I could, I mean, I'm not even adding anything because they even covered it, but I would say to you from my experience in marriage, one thing that you never, regardless of anything that's going on, is you never want to take one another for granted. Mm-hmm. Ever. Mm-hmm. Ever take one another for granted. And the bottom line is understand, we have all these things. You say that marriage is half of faith and so. Remember that your marriage is a direct example. See, I won't say a reflection, but is it a direct example of the joining of the individual with Allah himself? That's what it is. And so when you keep that uppermost and always placing Allah first, like I say, everything you've gotten to handle the practical application in the various situations, you've got it. The thing is, just keep Allah out front and duty. I would say you're not going to have no struggle. It's going to be a struggle. As a matter of fact, I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan making a statement saying that once you go through the ceremony, then the war begins. Those were his words. But it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The thing is that each one of you will develop the attributes of Allah in one another. You will develop those attributes in one another. You know, and so like I said, and my thing, and the only other thing I can offer in the way of guidance would be you make sure you get Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth's number so that when something come up, you can go to the perfect example. Somebody else may think something else. That's my view. They're the perfect example of what we should be striving for. And so I'm gonna stop with that. Assalamu alaikum. And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Praise to Allah.
Okay, listen. We might have to go a little over time, but Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, this always happens to me, and I'm not a sister that can say no. I can't turn my back on family when they're having issues, and inshallah, this will also serve as some guidance to Brother Frank and Sister Yatira. And before I go into these questions, Brother Frank, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, my student minister, Robert Muhammad, is not here tonight, but I'm going to tell you what he says in almost every wedding he performs. Do you love my sister?
Yes,
I'm talking to you, Brother Frank.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I do. I love her with all my heart.
Okay. So, you know, that love represents that you will take care of her and that you will respect her. and that you will never put your hands on her. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, then you have my blessings. You think
you're good? Oh, praise be to Allah.
Which I had no doubt. But listen, I want to take these questions right quick if I can. And, you know, I want to remind Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, and the listening audience, everybody, that, you know, we have such a variation of beliefs and cultures that listen to our radio show. So everyone is not Muslim, so the practices are not the same. But still, it is our responsibility as Muslims to teach these life-saving and life-giving teachings to our people. And so we have a question from someone whose screen name is Glow44, and she's asking a question. How can you get him to propose? We have been together 4 years, 2 sons. I'm tired of waiting. So I'm going to go to you, Sister Queen Ruth. You want to answer Sister Glow's question?
Sister Queen, can you let my husband begin on this one?
Okay, Brother Stanley.
Yeah. I would say, I would say that if she's been with him for 4 years and she already produced 2 children for him, well, that's like going to the car lot and then you go to the salesman and you ask him if you can, you know, take the car without signing a contract and without putting a down payment, and he lets you do it.
Oh, so a free ride.
You drive off the lot, and you just give your word to the salesman, I'm going to pay you every month what's required, and I'm going to give you a down payment next month. But every time he calls the salesman, he never gets an answer, and he winds up getting fired from his job, and he's wondering, why am I fired? Why can't I keep my job? You see? Well, you gave yourself to a man, you know, without the commitment, and now you're realizing that the man doesn't want to commit to you. So you can't make him commit to you now. You see? What you have to do is commit yourself to God. Come on. And make God your husband. Don't try to plead for a man as you should plead for God. And that is the problem with most women. They're seeking validation from men instead of trying to seek validation from God. And you're making that man as God beside God, and you'll never be happy. And the man, the long as he knows you're going to be there for him, he's going to keep playing with you. But when you stop telling him, you're not going to get no more comfort from me. You move out and stop shacking. And you move into your own place. And you say, look, I'll marry you, or you marry me, you know, if it pleases God. But you got to go back to the standard of God. You can't fornicate and expect God to bless you.
Come on,
God said, thou shalt not fornicate. So then you might say, okay, well, you know, I gave myself to him so he should marry me. No, you can't. If you don't follow the way of God, don't expect success. But if you sit down with him and tell him how you feel, you want to follow the standards of God, and you want to, you know, marry him, but not by force. You want to marry God. And once you marry God, then see if he wants to be with you. Because every man don't want a righteous woman. You know? And it sounds like you want a righteous man, sister. And you want your children to have a good father. But Jesus didn't know his biological father, but God was his father. And he came out pretty well. So make God sufficient. I think that you have the wrong view in trying to get him to marry you. I think you should try to get yourself married to God and get your life on track based upon the law of God. Because where there's no law, there's no love. And that's what, how I would answer that, Sister Queen. There's no forcing. The man got a free will, and I don't think that she should be seeking to marry a brother, you know, who have not married her after 4 years and two children. I think that she should be seeking to marry God and get on track and stop shacking and stop giving herself to him, you know, and hold herself until marriage. And if he's the right one, God will show her. And that's how I would answer that.
Yes, sir. Okay, we are over time, but Sister Ruth, do you have something you want to say to her?
Yes, ma'am, and, you know, my husband is definitely right and exact, because before the Nation of Islam, you know, we were doing the same thing. We were shacking, and I had already had my first daughter, and when my husband's lieutenant told my husband, look, brother, you can't be shacking with no, you know, FYI, we don't shack. You know, you marry, and you can't shack with Sister Ruth once you, you know, get registered. Either you're going to marry her or you're going to leave her alone. And he got registered that Saturday, and on Sunday we got married.
Oh, praise is due to Allah.
So you know, it's love that drives us to do the right thing. And when that man loves that woman enough, guess what? He would do what's right by her. And when we do what Allah commands us to do, you know, which is marriage, you know, Allah says in the Bible, it's better to marry than be burned. So if God is telling you in the Bible, you better get married or you're going to hell, then, you know, we hear and obey Allah, and we marry that woman that we say we love, you know, and that's what, you know, that's when your love is proven. That's when the love is proven, is when that person is obedient to Allah. And one thing that, you know, we would never be successful, you know, as a people until we follow the way of Allah. We will never know what success feels like. It's not money. It's not material things. None of that will make you happy. You might, you know, be excited when you first get that Bentley you want or that big home you like, or you go to Jamaica and just hang out on the beach. You might be excited that for that, you know, second. Mm-hmm. But guess what? After that, it's like, you know, what is this for? You know, your mind starts telling you that this is not what you were born to do. Vanity. You were born to serve Allah, and when we serve him, you know, it's nothing but blessings come our way. So we will not know the blessings of Allah until, you know, we put his actions, when we put his, you know, words into action. So that's what I would say to the sister, is that she has to love herself to not allow any man. You know, I don't know the brother. I don't know why he is. Maybe he does not know the way, you know, the way to be. Maybe he feels like he loves her. He don't need no white man giving her no marriage certificate. Maybe that's how his thinking is, you know. So then she has to guide him and inspire him to go to his brother captain, you know. seek advice from those FOI who she sees who are striving to be upright and who are successful in the way of Allah. You know, she has inspired her mate that she's with to talk to those brothers, and then they have to sharpen him. Like the Most High Elijah Muhammad said, steel sharpen steel like men sharpen men. So it's another man that's going to sharpen him, that's going to make him stand at a 45-degree angle. You know, so that's what I would say to the sister.
Thank you. Thank you,
Sister Brooke.
Okay. Sister Queen. Sister Queen. Yeah. I know it's short on time. Do you mind if I answer that question as well? My answer is going to be very, very brief, I promise.
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
The reason why he hasn't proposed yet is because you haven't demanded him to propose. The minister teaches us that where there are no decent women, there can never be any decent man. And so he hasn't proposed because you haven't set that bar for him to propose. And every single man is a desire to be a man no matter his current condition. And so what you have to do is show him how much greater and better his life could be with you than without you, because you have to show him that if he doesn't commit, that his life could be without you. And that's the beauty of the worship process, because you are evaluating this person to determine how can they help you grow physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, and better you. At the same time, you also have to contemplate how can my life be without him or her. And so, you know, you have to put that pressure on him to make a decision, because we don't believe in wasting a woman's time. In 4 years, two children, now that's a lot of time invested in a lot of your body and energy invested into this man. And so my advice would be to show him that life could be without you if he doesn't take that commitment and step up. Because, you know, when me and Jatia was in question, she would do certain things to let me know she's good for me, but at the same time, if I didn't have her, how would that affect me? You know, if he come home and he's stressed out, he needs advice, give him only a little bit to show him that you can't have all the benefits without a commitment. You know, cook a little food, not a lot, something that you can cook, but without your cooking, how would he eat? You know, would he go back to being fast food? You know, help show him how you can make him better, and also show him at the same time, if you don't have me there, you know, you're missing out on these benefits, because it's like a job, you know, they don't need the benefits package right away. You got to invest that time to make a commitment and to show them that you're worthy of those benefits. And I mean, after 4 years, you know, you do have to put that pressure on that man, because if you don't set that bar high, he's going to stay low. Because if a man can holler at you, "Hey, girl," and you turn around, he says, "Come here," and you walk over to him, that shows that sets the bar at very low. But you make him speak to you respectfully and talk to you respectfully and let him know that you know your worth, he's either going to do one or two things. The pressure either busts pipe or it makes diamonds. So put pressure on that man to rise up to the occasion. He's either going to, wilt away and walk away, or he's going to rise to the occasion and become a diamond and put that ring on your finger. But you got to give him the value. But they kind of don't give it all away because he hasn't made the commitment yet. So that's just my two cents, is that you have to be that standard for him to either rise up to or let him know that a free ride won't last forever. And that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Frank. Yes, sir. Good teaching. Good teaching. Yes, sir.
Something very important, I believe, that needs to be shared. With Brother Frank and Sister Yetiria is, and also the sister who actually asked the question. The Honorable Mistress Farrakhan teaches us the motive of why you come together will determine how long the relationship will last. It's very important you have to check your motive of why you want to marry. And, you know, Prophet Muhammad said, "May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him." It's a very a wonderful hadith. He said a woman may be married for four reasons. Number one, her property. Number two, her rank in life. Number three, her beauty. Number four, her religion. So give the one who is religious and prosper. So you should marry a woman for her religion, her way of life, her belief in God. And there is also another hadith. It's very important. None of you must whip his wife as a slave is whipped, and then have intercourse with her at the end of the day. You know, doesn't mean physically whip her, but sometimes you can be rough verbally. And then at night she feels some icy hands touching her. Never do that. Love her all throughout the day. Verbally, be gentle to her, be kind to her. And then when you have a wonderful conjugal relationship, it will be filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love. And lastly, one beautiful hadith for the sister. If I were to order anyone to prostrate himself before another other than Allah, I would order a woman to prostrate herself before her husband. Now, that might be a rough one, but it agrees with when the Holy Quran says in 4, verse 35, the good women are obedient. And when you have a good man and he's striving to obey Allah, it's all right to not prostrate physically. Prostration in this context means being obedient. Allah will order you to obey a man who's striving to obey Allah. And when you do that, it brings joy to a man's heart. And he knows that he is blessed with a good woman, and he will always try to reciprocate that wonderful spirit you give him. He will always try to give it back to you. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing us to be on the show, and may Allah bless you, Brother Frank, Sister Yatira, to have a wonderful, wonderful lifetime together with Allah at the center of your relationship.
Thank you so much, Brother Ruth.
Now listen, I don't want y'all to go just yet. We almost done, but we got two questions that I think we really, really need to address. And the first one is from Brother Micah, and he says, "I am not Muslim, but I have a high regard for all women. My wife hits me. He says, I'm not violent man. She says she is frustrated, but don't know why. I wanted to start a family, but now I'm not trying. But now I'm not going to try it. I need to understand." So now, typically we hear about domestic violence, and more than likely, 99% of the time, it is inflicted upon the woman. So here is Micah being very open and very honest, and Micah, I just want to say I salute you and appreciate you sharing that with us, because our women are just as valuable. I mean, our men are just as valuable as women, and they do not deserve to be abused, and this does happen. So here is a man who, I'm sure he's holding his hands, but then, you know, he doesn't want to fight the woman that he loves. So Brother Stanley, do you have any advice for Brother Micah?
I would say that, number one, Dianetics for her and for him. And Dianetics is a technology, Brother Micah, that helps you deal with why you do what you do. And it's happened in your girlfriend's life, fiance's life, that calls her to act irrational. It's irrational behavior, there is a painful experience she's been through mixed with other than herself. And there's something in her treatment. There's keep causing, he dramatized that experience that causing her to physically abuse you, and she doesn't know how to explain it. And if you see Dianetics, Dianetics would understand these irrational behaviors, and then it is a tool in a scientific mathematical counseling session that will allow her to discover why she's acting irrational, and then you all can start enjoying a happy relationship. So I would get a counseling session, a Dianetics counseling session, after you go online and watch some of the videos of Dianetics, the modern science of mental health, and then also have a spiritual.
Okay, Brother Stanley, we're having a hard time hearing you. Are you outside?
No, I think that someone else is phone. Maybe they want to put it on mute.
Oh, okay. Okay,
someone...
I don't know whose phone that is. Well, it is Brother Frank because he's on the road. Okay. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Brother Stanley.
It stopped. I'm here. So did you want me to repeat what I said, or do you think
no,
you
heard? No, we heard you, but it just started getting real distorted at the end. Okay. And Sister Ruth, is there anything you want to say to Brother Micah?
Yes, ma'am. You know, the minister teaches us that we have to love our people more than they hate themselves. And that type of love is what transforms people, you know. And I think that, you know, him not, you know, abusing her, because we already know that, you know, the man is the stronger vessel, you know, and if he wanted to, you know. But because of that, you know, is really going to, you know, help her come out of that mentality. You know, and like my husband says, Dianetics is very important. So that love that he has for her, you know, he has to talk to her about Dianetics, you know, in counseling so that, you know, she can be helped, because that's not, you know, that's not something that is really her nature, you know.
So that's what I would say as well. Okay, thank you, Sister Ruth. Okay, last question, and this is from Deb, and this is very critical, I think, for all married couples, because some people do go through this. And she texted me and she said, been married 15 years. How do you deal with infidelity? I never knew he had affairs. He joined church and confessed to me. How I wish he would have kept it between him and God. Now 17 years of my life, 15 years of marriage, 4 children, I am broken. How do I forgive when I really want to walk out? We have 4 babies that are teens and preteens, but I refuse to be unhappy. I have never cheated. I deserve better. Still, I want to be able to forgive. So, Brother Stanley, we lost Sister Ruth, and it's too late to get her back. Brother Stanley, any advice for Deb?
Well, I would say to our sister that God never places a burden on no soul it cannot bear. And everything is for a reason and a season. And the 15 years of marriage that you never suspected your husband violating the marriage vow by fidelity, then that is something that needs to be looked at, because your husband kept it a secret for all that time, or whatever time period of the 15 years that he was violating the marriage vows. But your husband's heart became burdensome, and he felt like he had to confess to you. And men confess, and their motive is different. And I don't know how he confessed to you, if he confessed out of because you found out, or he confessed because of guilt. But him confessing is the beginning of a honest relationship. Because the Bible says confession is good for the soul. And I would like to share with you, my sister, about Hosea the prophet. Hosea the prophet was kind of upset with God or Jehovah because the children of Israel kept committing spiritual adultery. They would keep the covenant that they had with God. And Hosea didn't understand why God kept forgiving the children of Israel. So God says, Hosea, I tell you what. And before I say what God told Hosea, God always wants his servant to be in agreement with his decision before he makes it. And whenever he discovers his servant is not in harmony with his decision, he's so merciful, he's so beneficent, he's so patient, he's so kind. He wants to take the servant through an experience that the servant will arrive at the mindset that God presently has. So what he said to him, I want, there's a prostitute named Gomer. I want you to go marry this prostitute. Gomer said, what? Hosea said, what? You want to marry a prostitute? I think there's a rap song talking about, I'm in love with a stripper. Well, that's kind of like Hosea's circumstance. He fell in love with her. And then God said, I don't want you to name them. I'll name them myself. And every child that Hosea and Gomer had, God gave them a name based upon how he felt about the children of Israel when they broke covenant with him. And maybe it's the same way how you feel. And so he fell in love with her, they had children, and he thought that she stopped, you know, living that kind of life. But someone told him, hey, your wife is out there playing hard again. It has saddened Hosea. And Hosea went to God, as I would ask you to do, go to God. And he asked God why, and he pleaded to God. He expressed so many emotions. And in a nutshell, God said, okay, Hosea, the decision is yours. What do you want to do? Well, Hosea said, I love her, so I want to forgive her. And then God said, now, Hosea, you know how I feel about my people. Although they're whoring, They're doing all manner of evil. I still love them, so I'm going to forgive them. And see, it's like that woman in the Bible who was living the life of a harlot. And the pain of living that life became greater than the pleasure. And Jesus was invited, along with Peter, to some Pharisees' house and for dinner. They wanted to question him. And she came there with an alabaster of expensive oil. All her, like possibly life possessions, was in that a little alabaster box. And when she seen Jesus, she kneeled down at his feet and her tears washed his feet. And she kissed and she gave him the gift. And then the Pharisees who invited Jesus to the dinner was saying inside themselves, does he know what kind of woman this is? This is a harlot. This is a, you know, if he was a man of God, he wouldn't let her touch, you know, him like that. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And then Jesus looked to Peter and said, I have something to share with you, Peter. He said, say on, Master. And he said, there were two men that owed, you know, a king a debt. One had owed like 50, you know, money in 50s, and then another one owed like 500, something like that. And then Jesus said, both of them were forgiven. He said, who would love the master the most? He said, Peter said, the one who was forgiven the most. He said, thou hast answered correctly. He said, you know, Peter, since I came in here, these Pharisees, they ain't washed my feet with no water. They didn't even greet me with a holy kiss. But these men have less sins than this woman. She has greater sins. But she has been washing my feet with her tears. And she has been kissing me. And that woman, woman, your sins have been forgiven. And he said, whoever loves, forgives the most, loves the most. And this is the time, sister, I would tell you. Your husband's sins are great. They're very great. But if you forgive him for that great sin, then I believe he will love you even more. And you can love him out of that infidelity if that's what you choose to do. Because he told you for a reason. Maybe he told you because his heart was so burdened and he felt guilty of betraying you and betraying the family, that he wanted to talk to you, that maybe you can help him. Because infidelity is a sickness like crack. It's a sickness like drug addiction. I mean, alcoholism, pardon me. Because all around us is sex. The way the woman dresses is sex. See? Sometimes there's a lot of circumstances that can produce this infidelity. I don't have time to talk about it right now. There's a lot of circumstances, but it don't mean that he's a bad man. Not always a person or a woman or a man commits infidelity. It don't mean they're bad. The act is bad. But there's a lot of circumstances that can produce it. But one thing he does need, he needs help. And marriage counseling, I would recommend to get a good pastor that has a good, strong marriage and sit down with them. Or minister, whatever your religious faith is, sit down with them and go through your marriage and let them guide you to oneness with God and oneness with each other, and strengthen your family and work hard to build a happy family again, and don't let Satan rob you of your happiness. That's how it is.
Okay. Oh, praise. That was beautiful. That was beautiful, Brother Stanley. Wow. Oh, I remember that story, too. Wow. Okay. Now, Brother Frank, your phone is making so much noise, we had to mute you out, but we're about to close. So, Brother Frank, can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. All right. Well, Brother Sister Yatira and Brother Frank, congratulations once again. May Allah bless this union. I am so proud of my little dear sister, 21 years old, jumping the broom. May Allah bless you, queen. And I wish you much happiness and much success in your marriage. And, of course, I'm going to give you the same advice Brother Kareem did to Stanley Muhammad and Sister Ruth. They are wonderful, wonderful counselors in times of trouble. And you know your big sister is always here for you. But if you need that guidance, I always suggest that you go to someone who is married and who is living and practicing the road or the process in which you need to grow from. So I will always yield to Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth to be our guiding light in the process of marriage. And so I pray that we have been able to give you and Brother Frank some tools tonight that you can use from now on, because I do want to hear about either of you getting married this time, this one time. That's the goal, to just do this one time. So is there anything before we go, Brother Frank and Sister Yatira, that you want to say?
I just want to thank you for having us on the show, having me on the show, and I definitely want to thank Sister Ruth and the brother, his name again, Sister Stanley. I thank you for the advice and everyone else who, you know, gave advice on the show or answered questions that helped me, you know, gain wisdom and extract knowledge from the answers given. So I thank everyone who participated on the phone call tonight.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Sister Ruth, Sister Yatira? Sister Yatira? Can you hear me? Okay, maybe we lost her. Because I still see her number up. But I want to thank you, Brother Stanley, and Sister Ruth's phone dropped, of course, and it's overtime, so we can't call her back. And Brother Kareem, thank you for joining me as well. Brother Stanley, a beautiful, beautiful presentation once again. And thank you from the listening audience for all the advice that you have given to help them. And so thank you, listening audience, for staying overtime with me. I appreciate all of y'all hanging in here. I know y'all going to talk about me bad for keeping y'all this long, but may Allah continue to bless us in our endeavors. We leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaykum.
Thank you.